Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. My, my, my. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Yes. Praise you, Father. Yes. Yes, sir. Oh, we pray for our president right now. We hold him up to you, Lord Jesus. We thank you. For giving him an uncommon boldness. He don't know much about politics, but he sure do know how to shake things up. Praise God. And I praise you and I thank you for it. Thank you for it, Father. Praise you. Your wisdom, understanding, fill his heart and fill his mind right now. Thank you for him. Thank you for him. Ministering spirits gather up around him. And his whole team. What a team of powerful, born again men and women. And we thank you for his cabinet. We thank you for Rex Tillerson, Rick Perry, Betsy DeVos. I thank you for it, Father. For everything that you've put in place. To heal this land. Praise you for it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we pray. 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 And in that name we believe that we receive. And I'm asking you, Lord Jesus, everybody in this government, from the top to the lowest, all of them, that refuse to carry out your will, we ask you to remove them and put somebody in there that will. The place that this nation must return is to come back into its place where there's more gospel going out of here than any other spot on this planet. Hallelujah. It has never lost that place, but it needs to regain the strength and purity of it. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father. Those days of our chaplains not being able to pray in the name of Jesus is over. That's over. Glory to God, that's over. That is over. And we give you praise and honor for it. We thank you. And Father, we come before the Word of God tonight. We come before it expectantly. Holy Spirit, I put myself into your hands. For your Word says that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And we depend on you, greater one. Because without you and without the anointing, we're nothing. Can do nothing. But we're not without you. And we thank you that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. For Jesus has anointed me tonight to preach and to teach this word accurately, please. Opening the eyes, the ears and the understanding and the minds of all of us together, that we might know more about Jesus and to receive revelation from heaven about this life of faith, this life in the kingdom of God. And we give you the praise and the honor and the glory. And once again, I ask you tonight that not one person leave this place, not one person watching online, not one person in the sound of my voice will end this service without being empowered and without being touched by the power of the Almighty God. Spirit, soul, and body, financially and socially. We thank you for it, and we give you the praise for it, and because of that name, we fully expect it to come to pass. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Say, well, Brother Copeland, what are you going to talk about? Guess. His name is Jesus. And we're going to talk about faith. Oh, Brother Copeland, I've heard that. Well, you want to come teach it? No. The Apostle Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but it's God that giveth the increase. Now, if this is the first time that you've ever heard the word of faith taught and preached, then I'm planting. If you've heard it before, I'm watering. But either way, it's God that giveth the increase. Say it.
I receive
the increase.
In
Jesus' name.
In Jesus.
I take it. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. And you know what you have to do if you're going to, you know, if you're going to start talking about faith, you have to go to Mark chapter 11. Now, the reason that we study this from the 11th chapter of the book of Mark is just simply because the Holy Spirit through Mark, the author, goes into more explicit details about how God's faith works. He is a faith God. I heard, it's been so long ago, I don't remember now whether I heard him personally or somebody told me about it, but anyway, it was wrong. That God doesn't have faith. He is the object of our faith.
Amen.
Well, now, wait a minute. That's interesting, isn't it? Do you have faith?
Yes.
Where'd you get it? I thought he didn't have any. That kind of quit in a hurry, didn't it? Amen. Now, yeah, thank you, Lord. Hold your place in the book of Mark. Let's look at that in Hebrews chapter 11. The hall of fame of faith. In fact, I've had this question. Why do you teach on it so much? Well, in the first place, you can't get saved without it. You can't live the faith life without it, for the just live by faith. You can't walk the Christian walk without it, because we walk by faith and not by sight. You can't fight the Christian fight without it, because we fight the good fight of faith. And you can't overcome the world without it, because this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And if that wasn't enough, it's impossible to please Him without it. Amen. Now stop and think about it a moment, though. It's impossible to please anybody without faith. You know, I sure do love you, brother, but I don't believe nothing you say. Try that with your wife sometime. I love you, darling. Just don't believe nothing you. No. See, that's, I love you is very pleasing, but I won't do what you say is not. So it's impossible. All things are possible with God. Not that. It's impossible for God to lie. And it's just as impossible to please Him without faith as it is for Him to lie. Do you ever wonder why it's impossible to please Him without it? Without it, He can't do anything for you. He's not trying to get anything from you. He's trying to get things to you. Amen. What does He do with your tithe? He spends it on your spiritual development. He doesn't need the money. He needs you. Amen? Yeah. Well, it's impossible to please Him without. Well, listen to this. Romans 4:16. Therefore, it is by faith, so that it might be by grace. And grace is the big thing. Grace, unmerited favor and so forth. Grace is God's overwhelming desire to treat you and me like sin never happened. Because as far as God is concerned, the sin problem is finished. Jesus bore it, defeated it. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So, without faith, there's no connection to the grace. And without the grace, everything Jesus did is for nothing. Faith is huge. Hebrews chapter 11. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So, faith is always now. Faith is always present tense. The past is the past, and hope is the future. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things, natural material things, which are seen, were not made of things which do appear. It didn't say they were made of nothing. It said they were made out of something you can't see. So faith is the creative force that brought all of this into existence. Now, back to Mark 11, please. Verse 11. Jesus has just come through Jerusalem riding the little colt. Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, and so forth. And in verse 11, and Jesus entered into the Jerusalem and into the temple, and when he looked round about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. On the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not. Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. Now notice, he said the desired end result. Now he left, you remember he said, the words that I speak unto you, 14th chapter of John, they're not my own, it's the Father that dwells within me, he does the works. He said, no man eat fruit of you again hereafter forever. He left it up to the Father that dwells within. What happened to it? He didn't say dry up from the roots. He didn't say anything about the roots. He just said, ain't nobody going to eat nothing off you ever. You over, you done. But he left the rest of it up to him. Very important. Speaking the end result. He wasn't responsible. Why? Because he already heard his Father say that. Don't take long to get happy around here. Hallelujah. Now, when he's got a house full of people like you, I'm telling you what, you can pull the preach out of a cedar stump. Hallelujah. Now, his disciples heard it. So how far away was this tree? Well, it was far enough away that you could see it had leaves, but couldn't see that it didn't have fruit on it. So that, you know, it was several steps away, and yet they heard it. It was important for them to hear it. They came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught. Now, cleaning the temple was not the mission. The teaching was the mission. But the place had to be cleaned up before you could teach. Yeah, I can see that. I was, one of the reasons we're overhauling everything at KCM, the Lord said, get your house in order. You heard Pastor George say that. George, stand up. Where are you at, man? There he is. Right there. And we're getting ready for 2018. I was cleaning that temple is what triggered this in me. I was proofing the 2018 calendar. And they were looking at the, you know, all the text and everything on it and the pictures and making some changes and so forth, getting it ready for to send to you. And we finished it, and that looked great. And I looked at that calendar. And, whoa, the word of the Lord came to me and he said, 2018. The year of the Holy Ghost and fire. That purging fire. Hallelujah. And then he said, the big 18 for 2018. 9 fruit of the Spirit and 9 gifts of the Spirit. Folks, I'm telling you, it's coming. Fact, it's here. Praise God. Holy Ghost and fire. Amen. So let the fire clean out the temple, brother. Whoa. Luke 3:16. Now, he taught, saying unto them, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer. You've made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and the chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him because all the people were astonished at his doctrine. Now, one thing you need to notice about the teaching of Jesus. You remember when he was at Nazareth And it says, and he began to say, this scripture's fulfilled in your ears today. That's not what he said. That is a summary of the sermon that he preached. He began to say, and he preached that sermon. This scripture's fulfilled in your ears today. Now this, and here's what I want you to notice. Notice this. Is it not written, my house should be called of all nations a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves? That's the message that he preached, but it took till evening to preach it. Notice it. The scribes and chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him because all the people were astonished at his doctrine. And when evening was come, he went out of the city. He cleaned that house and preached all day. Yes. My kind of preacher. Preach all day, brother. Amen. And when evening was come, he went out of the city. Now, if you look at the timeline, he spoke to it in the morning, preached all day, in the evening went back to Bethany. Nobody said anything about that tree. You know they looked at it. There was no way they gonna walk past that tree without looking at it. See, maybe it may be gone, you know. We don't know. That's 12 hours, and there was no visible change in that tree. Spiritual things are from inside out. Yes. That's true. When a storm comes through and blows all the leaves off the trees, it don't kill the tree. They grow back. But when the storm comes and uproots the tree, it'll die. So the life is on the inside. Our spiritual, when we got born again, we became inside out people. Now we were raised as outside in people. Everything we needed was out here and somebody else had it. You started out with your mom and daddy had it. And you depended on them to get it. Well, then whomever you work for had it. And the government had it. Or whoever else, somebody else had it. And there's only a handful of ways to increase yourself. You can do it by hard work. You can steal it. Or you can believe God for it. You can add to yourself in the natural, or you can add to yourself with supernatural increase. That comes from the inside out. All the other comes from outside in. Well, we came up, just trained to look out here. But the kingdom of God is in here. And increase comes, the scripture says, increase comes by words. Amen. Comes from words. Words are the most powerful things in the universe. We live in a word created, word dominated, word upheld system. Amen. Not realizing that our own words govern our own lives. And it's not the thing you say a little bit, it's the stuff you say all the time.
That's right.
Most Christian people, well, just about everybody, that are really having a rough time. And they account what's happening in their lives to the devil. Principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world. They, and not wrongly so, not knowing that what actually is taking place is the result of what they've been saying all their lives. And you open the door for the devil to get in there. You build him a nest. Not knowing, but hey. Well, I don't see why you have to be so picky about words. I didn't mean it when I said it tickled me to death. I know, but you have an accuser. And he's a legalist. Amen. And in the morning, now this is roughly 24 hours after Jesus spoke to that tree. In the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Now here's what he has undertaking to do. He just demonstrated how the faith of God works. That's what that tree gave its life for, was to demonstrate that. Have faith in God. The cross reference says, have the faith of God. And other translations and Greek scholars say that it literally says, have the God kind of faith. Well, of course, it's faith of God. It is the God kind of faith. So now here's the way Jesus, this is what he demonstrated. And this is the way the force of faith is released. This is the way it works. For verily I say unto you, whosoever. So this faith is governed by spiritual law. By what law? The law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. It's a spiritual law. A law is something that is predictable. And when the proper elements of that law function properly, it works exactly the same way every time, and it can be depended on. Amen. You remember Romans 8:2? For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. See, natural, physical laws were created by spiritual law. So natural, physical laws, the laws of physics mirror spiritual law. And people, I started to say I don't understand why people think this, but I really do, because it's religion has painted this loosey-goosey, you don't ever know what God's going to do and who can figure it out anyway, idea. Well, you couldn't ever understand God. You can if he's the teacher. Amen. You shut up and listen. And the reason why you can understand God is because he's a spirit being and you're a spirit being. And after all, he created you. And he created you to understand him. It's religion that has had the idea that God way up there and man is this little afterthought down there. I like what Keith Moore says. He said, you know, generally, people have the idea that God created all this, put the world out there and gave it a spin and forgot about it and said, well, there you go. No, it didn't like that. He is very involved. Yes. Lord. Amen. Amen. It's men that spin it and walk away from it, but not him. Hallelujah. Now, have the God kind of faith. Have the faith of God. Now let's stop right there. He said, have it. He didn't say pray for it. Nowhere in the Bible does it say pray for faith. He said, have it. Faith cometh. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. That's the only way it comes. Yeah, but I believe. I love you, darling, but I really don't care what you believe. I don't care what I believe. But the Bible said faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. This word, also in the 10th chapter of Romans, is called the word of faith. Because God's word preached, taught, meditated, read, spoken, creates confidence. Because God's faith is in his word. Amen. He filled it with faith when he released it. Amen. And the word of God is spirit food. Amen. The born again human spirit.
Yes.
It must have it.
Amen.
Jesus said that, you know, in Matthew 4:4. Man does not live, Jesus said it, man doesn't live by bread or food alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.
Amen.
Now, I believe it's one of the things that struck me and feeds me every time I quote that, every time I read that. The species of mankind, created in the likeness and in the image of God, has the capacity to feed on every word that comes out of God's mouth. If God can say it, we can feed on it. We have the capacity to receive it. Glory to God. We were made for that. Our bodies were designed by God to feed on certain materials. There are certain things that he created not fit to eat. You know, certain things you're not supposed to eat. You know that? There's certain lizards you don't have any business eating. Anybody in here really like buzzard? Well, I'm not going to go much further with that because... Yeah, I will. When God said, with long life I'll satisfy you and show you my salvation. When he said in Exodus 23:25, serve the Lord your God. And... most people don't understand that verse. He will bless your food and water. He wasn't talking about God blessing your food and water. He's talking about your angel. You go back just 3 or 4 verses. He was talking about an angel that he sent with them to bless their food and water. And I will take sickness from the midst of you, and the length of your days I will fulfill. Now, what's the length of days that he's talking about? We just make that up? I mean, there was a time when people, they thought they was living long if they could live 60 years. And then in 70 and 80. But that's not what Scripture says. Why does 2, Brother Copeland? 3 score and 10 and 4 score if by strength. No, God didn't say that. He didn't mark them with that. They said that. They said, we're going to die in this desert. We're going to die in the desert. We're going to die in this desert. He's going to kill us out here in this desert. And the Scripture said it came across his ears, and he said, yep, you said it, so you got it. But Genesis 6:3, he said, the Hebrew said, the normal life of man shall be 120 years. That's what God said was normal life. Now, just put two and two together. If God is going to make a food list of eat and don't eat, the eat list is what he's designed to live and nourish you all the way through 120 years. Amen. He's the one that said it, so when he said long life, that's what he's referring to. Amen. Not just what you want to make up. Amen. And I suggest you don't wait till you're 70 to start believing for it. Some of you kids think that's going to be a long ways off. I'm going to tell you something, darling. It's right around the corner. But see, not only does it have to do with long life, from 85 to 90% of all chronic diseases are self-imposed. That's a sad indictment. Well, Satan knew that. That's the reason he invented Twinkies. And don't come around whining to me. I used to weigh 100 pounds more than this. So, hey, I've been there, darling. I've been here. Somebody said, how much weight have you lost? Something like 75,000 pounds. About 25 or 30 at a time. Well, no, that's not the truth. But I finally, by just staying with it and using your words, and I believe I receive, and continually writing that food covenant and standing on it and having to fight for it and believe for it but you see, it compounds, it builds up. It's not on it and off of it, on it, off of it. No, you stay with it. You just keep confessing it. You get knocked off of the thing. Don't start whining. Repent and get back on there. Amen. And you wind up my age without any sickness and disease. I don't have any. I had a lot of pain. A lot of pain. 20 years of it. I won't go into all that. I don't like to talk about it. But I do like to talk about this. I am pain free. Well, how come it took so long for God to heal you? Are you kidding me? He healed me 2,000 years ago. It was my dumb fault. I'm the one that fouled it up.
Amen. Yeah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Yeah.
Now, for verily, they said, look at that tree. He said, have faith in God. Have it. Have it. Well, I'd like to have it. No, he didn't say like to have it. Have it. Amen. Well, I wish I had it. No, he didn't say wish I had it. He said have it. Amen. Have it. Can you see him offering it to you and to me? Have it. I came here to get this for you. And we were born again, not with corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. When we were born, that the word of God is what raised Jesus from the dead. The word of God is what caused him to be born again in a pit of hell. He died. He was separated from the Father by sin. Not his. He didn't sin. It is yours and mine.
Yeah.
He bore our sins in his own body on the tree. He was made to be sin that we might be made the righteousness of God.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
He was made sin with our sin. We were made righteous with his righteousness. But what did it take? It took faith to unite with it. It was there all the time. But you heard the word. Faith came. You accepted Jesus and you were born again. You were not forgiven. You were born again. A new creation, a new creature. And the faith was in that seed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Have faith in God. Have the God kind of faith. Have the faith of God. For verily I say unto you, whosoever, well, I can't get off of that. Have faith. Yeah. Turn to 2 Corinthians. Chapter 4, the 13th verse. Now here the Apostle Paul, he says, the 13th verse, he said, we, now he's talking about all of them in the church at Corinth, plus himself. We having, Jesus said, have faith in God. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore we speak. All right. Now look and listen to what Jesus said and see if he's not talking about exactly the same thing Jesus is talking about here in Mark 11:23. For verily I say unto you, whosoever, this is a spiritual law, whosoever, any breathing human being can use it. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt, where? In his head? No, in his heart. Your spirit is your heart. Shall not doubt in his heart, in his inner man, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. Believe what? Believe that those things which he says shall come to pass. He'll have whatsoever he saith. Now let me read that again slowly and listen to it like this. Shall not doubt in his heart, his inner man, but shall believe that those words which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So where is the faith? Believing what you say comes to pass. Now, what is the ironclad guarantee of it coming to pass, just like you desire it to come to pass? All of the promises of God in Him, in Jesus, in Christ, are yes and amen. So you start with that promise, or you start with a Bible fact. himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. That's not a promise. That's already happened. Amen. That's a Bible fact. Amen. Oh, I'm telling you, you can hang your helmet on that.
That's right. Yes.
Amen. Well, you can stand on that, see? Amen. Now that needs to be then what I'm saying.
Yes.
It's to say that. Don't try to make something up. Say what he's already said. Wow. Now, this is what John was talking about in 1 John in the 5th chapter. When he said, we know if we pray anything according to his will, we know we have the petition that we desire. Well, what is his will? His word. What kind of person would God be to promise something that it wasn't his will for you to have? See, that's foolishness. Religious foolishness is what it is. And it comes from actually not knowing what God said to start with. You being you take the Bible literally. Well, of course. Otherwise, what's the use in it? Well, it looks good in my nightstand. Well, we won't go there right now. Therefore, when you see therefore, always stop and see what it's there for. I wasn't smart enough to think that up. I got that from Brother Hagin. Therefore, I say unto you. So the very principle of faith, where it comes from, how it's released, and what you have to believe for it to come to pass, Jesus immediately used it. He shall have whatsoever he said, therefore I say unto you, what so everything you desire. Now, wait a minute. We just got rid of the mountain that we don't desire. So we kick the mountain out. Now we're going to bring in here what we do desire.
Yes. Yes.
Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire. When you pray, start believing. Now, hold your place there and let's go over the 20th chapter of John's Gospel. John chapter 20. Verse 24, Thomas, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, we've seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, put my finger into the print or in the hole, thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Now what has Thomas said? Thomas said, I won't start believing unless that happens.
Yeah.
Mm. Now here Jesus said, when you pray, start believing.
Yes. Yes.
You release your faith then. Not after you see something, feel something. Because if you're waiting to see something, feel something, it's tomorrow never comes. You keep pushing it away from me. Look at it again. Whatsoever thing you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. But it's dependent on something. When you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Now, he has already, hey, I used to tell the kids when they, get your catchers out, because I'm about to say something. He's already forgiven us our trespasses. He's not holding our trespasses against us. But he can't do anything about it if you won't forgive. He can't. You're resisting forgiveness. You can't resist forgiveness here and receive it here. No. Spiritual things, help me say this, Lord. Spiritual things are not linear the way we think. God is not there. God is there. Forgiveness is a spiritual thing. I won't forgive you. I'm resisting God's forgiveness for me.
Amen. That's right. Praise God.
But the moment I forgive and I repent. Can you see it? I forgive, I repent. Glory to God. Now, turn over to 1 John. This is another thing that the Mark 11, 23, 24, 25 rule applies right here. You can't walk in Mark 11, 22, 23, and 24 by feelings.
That's right.
Well, I just don't feel like he heard me. Your feelings don't have anything to do with it. Well, I just feel like I don't have any faith. You can't feel faith. Right. It's a spiritual force. You can't feel it. Now, there are times when a force becomes tangible, like the healing anointing. There are times it's perceptible in warmness particularly. It's part of the fire, part of the glory. But you don't judge it by feelings. You judge things by what God said about them. Thomas said, I will not do it. Unless I can see it and feel it, I won't believe it. Abraham said, be it done unto me as you have spoken, according to your word. So now you cannot receive Abraham's blessing with Thomas's faith. Because there wasn't any faith there. Now there's natural human faith. There is a natural human faith, and it's very important. There are certain things that you have to believe or get killed. You have to believe that a car is bigger than you. You see one coming down the street, don't be stupid and walk out in front of it. There are certain things that you need, and we do it. You do it every day. You do things by faith all the time and not recognize it, but you do. Because someone will call you and tell you, I put a certain amount of money. And like I called my dad the day I registered at ORU. And I was down there just because God told me to go there. And he said he'd take care of me. So, here I was. I didn't know this yet. I didn't know how to do that. And I'm sitting there. Mrs. Campbell is filling out my bill, you know. And So I just had an unction to call my dad. I said, "Miss Campbell, can I make a collect call on your phone?" She said, "Sure, go ahead." So I called my dad. He said, "Where are you? I've been trying to find you all day." I said, "I just got through registering in school." Well, he said, "I'm glad you called because somebody came by this morning and dropped a check off in my office and said it was to go to you." And he said, "I figured you probably needed it." I said, "Oh." He said, "Well, I put it in the bank for you." I did not call the bank, see if it was there. Why? I trust my dad. I have a faith in my dad. My dad never lied to me in my life. I lied to him, but he never lied to me. And there was a time he didn't trust me as far as he could throw me. But I trusted him. He was a man of honor and a man of his word. And what? I'm exercising faith. I wrote a check that morning for over $300. In fact, the check was just the right amount of money to pay for that, the bill, what I owed that morning. Paid my fees, paid my books, and I think I had a dime left. Amen. That's good. Oh, and I took my tithe. That took care of my tithe first, and I had 10 cents left. So, you know, I figured, glory to me, go get a candy bar piece and go broke. Back then, you could buy Baby Ruth. Boy, them days are gone forever. Both the Baby Ruth and the nickel bar. Anyway, now, natural human faith and spiritual force of faith are completely two different things. Now, 1 John chapter 1. Verse 7. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Now look at this. Here is a covenant promise. If we confess our sins, he, Jesus, is faithful and just or righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness as long as we don't feel guilty anymore. Didn't say anything about your feelings. It said he's faithful and just to forgive you when you confess it and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So if he cleansed you from all unrighteousness, what's left? Righteousness. Amen. Yeah, but I just... Shut up, righteous. Quit acting like that. Well, you mean I ain't supposed to feel guilty? Well, I feel guilty for not feeling guilty. That's when you have to school yourself into faith. This is what he said. This is it. I see it. I see it. I believe it. It's the word of God. Isaiah 43:25 backs it up. Glory to God. Colossians, the first three chapters, backs it up. Praise God. He blotted out our sins. The 103rd Psalm, all of these words back that scripture up. So I believe that. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I confess Jesus. Come on. Don't you start trying to skirt around this. Call it by its nasty name. in order to live and walk by faith, to have any kind of success in the kingdom of God, you're going to have to get brutally honest with God, and you're going to have to get brutally honest with yourself.
Amen.
Not condemning yourself, just honest. I've been skirting around this thing all this time. It's not my problem. It's sin. I lied. Do you know the scriptures telling the church at Ephesus, stop lying to one another?
Yeah.
These are born again, Holy Ghost baptized, tongue talking, healing, believing Christians. This is where the Apostle John took Mary, the mother of Jesus, to church. Y'all stop lying to one another. I don't lie. You just did. I do not lie. Really? Oh, you probably wouldn't just stand up and just tell one of them stinkers, you know. But we have, particularly in this country, we have a lying lifestyle.
Yes.
Say all kinds of stuff all the time, it ain't so. Instead of speaking the truth to one another. You going down to the Hilton Chapel tonight? Well, I'm going to try to be there. You just lied like a dog. You're going to stay home and watch television. All them people trying to get here, not here. You just didn't have the guts to say so. Jesus said, let your yes be yes and your no be no, because all the rest of it's a lie. You going to go? No, don't believe we will. Well, why not? I'm tired and I don't want to. Well, you ought to go. I know I ought to go. I have to repent for not going. But I'm not going. I don't want to. Well, okay. It's amazing. If you just said yes, no, particularly if you said no, there'll be a long silence waiting for the excuse. Buddy, I want to repent to you. I said something yesterday I shouldn't have said. But you see, you're about to ruin a perfectly good repentance with your excuse.
Amen.
Well, you see, I was really tired. I shouldn't have talked ugly. Well, you just blew it. Just apologize. Apologize to you. I shouldn't have done it. It was wrong. It was a sin. I repented to Jesus, and I believe I received my forgiveness. I'm repenting to you. But you see, I was just... don't ruin it. By how tired you were. And you hadn't eaten in 3 days. That's probably a lie. Just stop it. Just get really straight. You start getting straight with Jesus and straight with yourself. You'll be surprised how much stuff, fire, purging fire, can start blazing on the inside of you. And I want you to know, the more courage it builds up in there, and you get to where you can say, sir, I did it. I repent. By faith, I receive my forgiveness. And by faith, I believe I receive my cleansing from that unrighteousness. Thank you very much.
Amen. Praise God.
And shut up.
Yes. Amen.
Anything else you got to say? Say it in tongues. Just say it in the spirit. Just begin to praise and worship. Begin to praise and worship. Instead of, oh, I just wish I hadn't done that. Oh. When you start that, I don't know. You're just saying to Jesus, you know, I know what you said, but I don't believe it. Boy, it's getting quiet in here. It does when you start talking about sin. It kind of has a way, doesn't it? Well, there's the answer to it in Mark 11, 23 and 24 and 25. Right there. It may... Now, if this was something that was ongoing and you came under conviction of the thing and finally dealt with it, particularly in the area of forgiveness and unforgiveness and so forth, and you just, well, I forgive her by faith. Jesus said to her, now do it. See, forgiveness is not a feeling.
Right.
It's an act of obedience. This is an order. It's not optional. We're soldiers in the army of the Lord. Sir, yes, sir. He's forgiven. And then Sunday morning, there she is again. What's happening? Your flesh is in the habit of that. And it'll react the same way. It'll react the same way that... that it always did, because it's your flesh. But no, you can change your flesh. Just say, don't, just stop it. How are you? You remember that message Keith Moore preached on that? He said, particularly when you go home for Thanksgiving, oh. And you know, you're the dumb holy roller, and you know, the one that say, you know what I'm talking about. And, but instead of just, oh, no, it's so nice to see you. Oh, hi. Amen. Act out your faith. Don't be walking around acting sick. Like Jesus said, when you're fasting, don't appear to fast. Wash your face. Comb your hair.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Let's close this like this. This is the faith of God. Look with me in Romans chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you. Now he's writing this to the believers in Rome. Not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now he's not dealt to every human being the measure of faith. Because the scripture says all men don't have faith. Deliver us from wicked and unreasonable men, for all men have not faith. All men among you, every born again child of God has been dealt the measure of faith. Now, how did it come? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So, every person that ever accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, the moment they received him, they were recreated and became a new creature. New species of being, not just a forgiven sinner. You're born again. Now, every one of us received the measure of faith. Every one of us got exactly the same measure of faith. Now, there are those that did absolutely nothing with it. And there are those of us that have done something with it and continue to live by it. And you know, the Apostle Paul said, your faith grows exceedingly. That's what Brother Jerry Savelle named his ministry, is ever-increasing faith. Ever-increasing, always increasing, always growing. Well, Jesus talked about, why is it you have no faith? Then he said to others, why is it you have so little faith? So if you got a little faith, if you got half faith, that means you could have, or if you're full of faith, that means you could be half full of faith. You could be, you know, come on. It's measurable is what I'm saying to you. So you have a measure of the same faith with which God created the heavens and the earth. Now, how did he do it? He said it. Huh? He said it. Well, of course he believed it in his heart. He had the pattern and the image was inside of him. He didn't say bird and then waited to see what a bird looked like. No. The bird image was inside him. He decided what a bird looked like, the different kinds of birds and what they were and how they were and the whole species. Hey, God didn't leave anything to what if or maybe. No. Is God the biggest thing in the universe? Of course. I got news for you. He's also the smallest thing in the universe. How could anything be smaller than him? He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the top and the bottom. He's the big and the small. And everything in between is named Jesus. Isn't that good? Oh, man, you start with him, finish with him, and live with him all the way in between. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Ah, yeah, I'll do that. The Lord is moving right now to heal nervous attacks, panic attacks, nerves, right on the verge of a nervous breakdown. In the name of Jesus. No, you're on the verge of a healing now. And the peace of God that passes all understanding is coming into your consciousness right now. Say, I believe I receive it. I take it, it's mine. I believe for it. And I forgive right now. Now there was a problem in most of them. Just do it. Just forgive. Say, I'm not having any more to do with that. I'm not holding that anymore. I'm done with that. I pray for them. I love them. But I'm done with them. Just put it away. Put it away. I'm not going to be nervous over that anymore. I roll all of my care over on Jesus. 1 Peter 5, 6 through 10. And I receive my deliverance. Hallelujah. Whoa, glory to God. Say this. I have a measure. Someone was healed of stomach ulcers. Deep ulcers, deep, way down in the lower part of the abdomen. Say, I have a measure of the same faith, with which God created the worlds. He said, world be. World was. He created the animals. By faith. And he said, animals?
Be.
And they were.
And
I have a measure of that same faith in me. And I can use it. And it'll work for me. Just the same as it worked
for him.
As long as I'll forgive.
And walk in love.
Stand up and give him praise right now. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah.